Last time on the Skip and Josh podcast.
I have to tell you, you sent me a text a few weeks ago and it really bugged me because you did something that really bugs me. You told me how you were going to be a guest on another show, except what you wrote in the text was, I'm guesting on another podcast. So you basically took a word that isn't a verb and made it into a verb, which is one of my biggest pet peeves.
You're listening to the Skip and Josh podcast with Skip Sherman and Josh Obadia.
I'm Josh in Toronto.
And I'm Skip in Montreal.
In today's episode, the Duke Blue Devils lose.
The Montreal Canadiens losing streak continues.
And a big matchup in the NFL.
But first, another coach gets fired.
Okay, Skip, so before we get started today, I know that sometimes you like to write in your notebook and you like to guess how I'm going to start the show. So I'm wondering if you wrote anything in your notebook this time.
I didn't write anything, but Vegas odds of...
Don't say it. I want you to write something now. I'll give you a few seconds.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to write it. Okay. Okay, I wrote it.
Okay, so now we can actually start the show. And actually, this week, a lot of crazy things happened this week. But I think it's obvious how we need to start the show this week. There's no question. I mean, clearly, the top story of the week is that Arsenal fired their head coach.
Oh, right. Arsenal. Right, of course. Because you're such a fan of the Premier League.
Well, I mean, come on. Unai Emery, he's been the coach for how long?
A year? I don't know.
And then they replaced him with this guy, Freddy Lundberg, whose name I can't even pronounce.
Arsenal's a mess. Do you want me to get into... Arsenal's a mess. You know, like, you know Arsenal... Anyways, I don't want to talk about Arsenal.
So is that what you had written in your notebook, that I was going to start with Arsenal?
No.
No? Okay.
No, this is what I wrote.
I can't see. Oh, okay, no. We'll get to that in a minute. So how do you want to start?
Listener mail.
Okay, let's do that.
Mailbag.
You forwarded me a message again from super listener Dave Littman. And again, thank you so much, Dave, for listening. We really appreciate it. He wrote, I listened to your podcast. And then he pointed out that we were completely wrong about many coaches that have coached in their teams for more than 8 years. And I'm not going to read what he wrote, but I have my own list to continue. And he also weighed in on the Babcock firing. And the gist of it is that, like, we're not in the know about the Leafs, which is 100% true, because he was basically saying that big time Leaf fans were aware of Keefe and who he is, right, and the new coach, and they've known his history, and the people have kind of known that he's probably going to be the next coach at one point. All that to say is that thank you for listening, Dave.
Speaking of that, I want to correct myself. So Mike Babcock, he did have an 8-year contract. But he has coached 4.25 of those years, and he had 3.75 left. So he had passed the halfway point of the 8 years. Still, right. My point was that 8 years is way too long to give a coach a contract. In fact, it's too long for a player contract as well.
And I'm going to give you the list of the longest tenured coaches currently in all the sports. So in the NHL, you're 100% right. John Cooper is actually the longest serving coach right now in the NHL.
Oh, wow. I would not have guessed that.
I didn't realize that. He was only hired in 2013. So he's right at that, like, not even eight years yet.
Right.
Like, he's in the seven, not even seven, right?
Yeah.
So he's the longest serving. In baseball, it's Bob Melvin, who was hired in 2011. In football, you have quite a few. We completely missed it. I mean, obviously, we said Belichick, right?
Right. Mike Tomlin, we should have guessed.
Mike Tomlin, 2007, was hired. Sean Payton has been the coach since 2006. And then even others, Ron Rivera, 2011. Jason Garrett, who we mentioned, 2010. And John Harbaugh, who was hired in 2009. And then... in the NBA, Dave, our listener, pointed out Greg Popovich, he's like the Belichick of the NBA. He's been around since 1996, which is mental. Rick Carlisle, hired in 2008. Dave also mentioned that. And the other one that nobody even knows, like no one would even remember this, is that Eric Spoelstra has been the coach of the Miami Heat since 2008.
I would not have guessed any of those.
I feel like the last decade kind of flew by because I feel like Eric Spoelstra has been the coach of the Heat for like 3 years, but whatever.
I mean, you know, I would never have guessed any of that. I hardly follow the NBA in the first place, but I wouldn't have guessed any of those.
No, I know. I know. All right. So what are we going to really dig into?
The National Hockey League.
Like, we don't usually talk that much NHL, but I feel like it's the top topic here anyways.
Since we're talking about hockey and since we're talking about coaches, I have to say, I'm kind of fed up with Claude Julien, but not for the reason that you think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think it's his fault that the team is losing, and I don't think that they should fire him and all that stuff. But
right
after every game, all he does is complain, and mostly about the officiating. And sometimes the officiating is bad, but sometimes the officiating is fine, and he still complains about the officiating. All he does is complain.
He does complain a lot about the officiating, and he does, he's throughout this losing streak, and it's reached 6 games as of today, which is Saturday morning. He says the same thing after every game, you know, we got to stick together, we got to work on things. And like, I mean, I don't know. Did you see that game against New Jersey? Like,
I saw the third period. That's it.
Okay. So you're in a situation where your goalie is not good. Okay. Like, I know I still have faith that Carey Price could be a good NHL goalie. Now, we're going to take the $10.5 million and we're going to throw it out the window. The money has nothing to do with this. I'm talking only about performance. Do I think Carey Price could be one of the top 10 to 15 goalies in the league? That's all they need, right? They need a good goalie, someone who can stop pucks. He can't stop anything right now. And then it doesn't help that the defense, and I'm not talking only about the defensemen, I'm talking about the defense in general, stinks. Like every 2 seconds there was a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-2. Like, how does this happen? Like, I've never seen a team with so many players out of position, clueless to where they're supposed to be on the ice. It's just disgusting to watch. So when you're a Habs fan like I am, when you watch them throughout this losing streak, what's really disturbing about this losing streak is that they've lost to the Devils twice. They've lost to Ottawa. They've lost to Columbus. Like, these are the worst teams in the league, and you can't beat them. Yet somehow you've beaten Boston, and you've beaten, well, not the last time, but in two games ago, and Washington, who's the top team in the East pretty much. And then you can't play against, like, the lesser legs. So I'm actually, as you know, I'm going to the game today against the Flyers. It's an afternoon game for some reason. We'll see how that goes, but I don't have... If they don't break the losing streak today, they're playing Boston again tomorrow. It's going to hit 8 games. And then what happens? Do you fire him after 8-game losing streak?
Well, the thing is, what happens when you fire him? You have to have a replacement for him. Are there any French-speaking coaches out there available?
Well, Alain Vigneault is already the coach of the Flyers. So
right?
Unless and we Michel have a, Therrien one of these is trades the where they guys trade... Michel Therrien is not coming into the NHL.
No, he is in the NHL. He's the assistant for the Flyers. He's the assistant coach. He has a job, so he's not available.
He's not coming back here, I mean. He's not coming back here. Unless it's a situation, you know, sometimes, like, you hear about these trades, like, it happens in baseball or in the NBA. Like, guys get traded while their team is in town, like, playing the other team, right?
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
They're just going to... Vigneault's just going to come down the hall and say, hey, I'm the new coach. Look, they have Joel Bouchard, who's the coach in the AHL, and he's getting rave reviews. I don't know if he's going to, like... On the radio here, you have these lunatics talking about... what's his name? Guy Boucher.
Right, yes.
Right? They're talking about Guy Boucher. But it's like, Guy Boucher's time in it has come in the NHL. Like, the fact of the matter is that they have to hire a French-Canadian coach is, like, it's already stupid. We don't have to get into that, but, like...
That is pretty stupid,
I don't
actually.
Know. I just feel like this losing streak could hit, like, it could hit epic proportions. It could get to 10 games really quickly. It can get to 12 games really quickly. And then what happens, you know?
Well, I mean, listen, you never thought that the Canadians just before the losing streak were I think, second or third in the conference. And they were playing much better than anyone expected them to be. No one expected them to be second or third in the conference. So that was an aberration, and this is an aberration probably the other way. So, I mean, what before the season, I said they were going to finish, what, 7th, 8th, or 9th in the conference. So
yeah.
That's roughly where they are right now.
Yeah, you're right. 7th, 8th, or 9th in the conference. But the thing is, the way they're playing now, they're not going to be 7th, 8th, or 9th in the conference. They're going to be well below that.
Right.
And, like, you forget, like, the Canadiens haven't made the playoffs in 3 out of the last 4 years. So this will be 4 out of the last 5, right?
But you shouldn't be surprised about that.
Ever. No, you shouldn't be surprised. But, like, it's just you want them to do better, right? So, like, how can the ownership of the team, like, make the team better? Is it firing the coach? Is it a new GM? Like, you know, all these things are going to happen, right? If they miss the playoffs again, Julien has to go. Like, he just has to.
Well, doesn't he have, like, 3 years left on his contract or something?
The Canadiens should not be worried about how much money they're paying.
No, they're...
You know the Canadiens are $8 million under the cap again this year?
Yeah, because they tried to sign, they tried to give somebody an offer sheet and it didn't work out. So clearly they have extra money left over. But having that extra money doesn't mean anything if there's no free agents out there worth signing.
100%. So the big new Journal de Montréal ran a big article this week saying that the Canadiens need to go all in on Taylor Hall and get him. So it's like
isn't he funny
when the team's doing
you're saying this summer when he becomes a free agent they need to go get him?
Well, the article kind of wrote different scenarios saying that they could go after him in the summer, but the Canadiens don't have a great track record when it comes to signing like these top-tier free agents, mm-hmm. right? So the best bet would be to try to trade for him as long as you can negotiate with him and make him sign, which he'll never do, right? Because if he knows he's going to free agency, he's going to free agency.
Yeah.
And he's going to pick his place, right? Unless in his mind he's like, I really want to go to Montreal, which there's no way that's the case, right? Like, why would he ever do that? He's just going to be like, no, I'm going to take myself to free agency. I'm going to get the most I can get. And I'm going to pick where I want to go, right?
I don't think that's the way to go. Whether it's Taylor Hall or any other free agent, look back at all the big free agents that have been signed in the summer on Canada Day.
They're all busts.
When does it ever work out?
Like
the teams that win the Stanley Cup, like a team like the Washington Capitals or the Pittsburgh Penguins, they don't win by going out and signing a free agent in the summer. They have built their team over the years and they have good players. You know, sure, they might add a guy at the trade deadline, like a fourth liner or a sixth defenseman, but they don't go out and make a big splash. That's not the way to do it.
No. And of course, because the thing is, like, the Canadiens fans, like, you have to listen to the radio after the games here. It's just,
I would recommend that you don't, to be honest, because I have listened to it and I know.
I like listening to it because the people are so irrational, right? Maybe I'm just like much more logical than other people, but like you said, what was the ceiling of this team? 7th, 8th, or 9th? And what's the strength of this team? All the young players, like Nick Suzuki is going to be a star in this league, but not this year, you know? like they have tons of potential. There's so many guys coming up that could be the next big stars of this team, but it's not going to happen this year. So like, why do you expect it to happen this year? Like there's just, it's just like, it's so irrational. Like the fans are just so irrational, it boggles my mind.
Which is why there's no point in firing the coach, because I don't have any expectations for this season or next for that matter. Mm-hmm. And you have to continue to add young players to the roster, because not everyone that you add is going to pan out. But if you add, you know, I don't know, 5 new young guys a year and 1 or 2 of them pan out every year, then 5 years from now, you might have a good team.
You got a stacked team. But that's all the more reason why you should fire this coach, because he doesn't play the young players. He's like every other coach. He's looking for his job. Mm-hmm. He's worried about his job. Right. If the Canadiens really were smart, which they're not, like they would have brought and because I've always said this, that this whole rebuild with all the prospects that they have, Bergeron fell into it by accident. You know, he's trying to have the best of both worlds. He's trying to like get stockpile all these prospects, but at the same time they're trying to win now, which doesn't those don't compute together, right? So you really, what you should have done is you should have brought in a coach who's young, who can talk to the young players, not a dinosaur like Julien, who's going to actually play his young players and tell them, you're going to make mistakes, go out there and learn and like develop. The Canadiens are an epic failure of an organization when it comes to developing their players. And the same thing, they've done this with a million players, and it's the same thing's happening now with Kasperi Kotkaniemi. The same thing. This guy should have been playing in Europe last year. He should have been in the AHL this year. We shouldn't have even seen him in the NHL yet. And yet somehow, when the Canadiens lose, everyone calls in and are like, cut Kanyemi Stocks, he's already a bust. You know? He's a bust because he shouldn't even be there. You know? So, look, I can go on and on and on about the Canadiens, but, like, I'm going to go to the game today. I'm going to eat some hot dogs. I'm going to have some fun. And then we're going to go from there. Right?
You're going to eat some hot dogs. Well, you better bring your credit card because that's going to cost you a bit.
It really is. So the Leafs, they came out of the gate with their new coach on fire. They thrashed a few teams, but kind of came down to earth yesterday against Buffalo. Like, what's the feeling in Toronto? Is it positive? Are people more excited about the Leafs now with their new coach? I imagine they are, right?
It's mostly positive. I mean, first of all, that yesterday was their first loss with the new coach. And I mean, they haven't really played any like fantastic teams since they got this new coach. So, you know, it's not saying anything.
I mean, they thrashed Detroit and you saw like Detroit didn't even have a goalie, right? Like, you see what happened with
they had to use their backup who was sick that day, right?
Yeah, so he wasn't actually, I didn't even know you could do this. They didn't dress a backup goalie because he was sick. So Jimmy Howard started. There was no backup goalie on the bench.
I didn't know you could do that either.
Me too. When Howard got injured, they had to like, Bernier had to like get dressed and like get all his gear on. And then when he came out, I mean, the first goal that they scored on him, he didn't even move. The guy looked like he's clear, like, you know how you would feel if you're sick playing? Like, he didn't even move on the first shot. It's like, he's like, yeah, I'm just standing here, basically. He's like, I'm just going to stand here because I can't, he couldn't do anything. It's just quite funny.
What was interesting, so yesterday was the first of a back-to-back for the Leafs, and Mike Babcock would always use Frederik Andersen at the first game of a back-to-back. Yeah. But obviously Sheldon Keefe decided to go with Michael Hutchins Hutchinson.
Well, they just called him up, right?
They just called him up, yeah. Sorry, Michael Hutchinson. I keep getting him confused mm-hmm. with the INXS lead singer.
From INXS. Yeah.
So it was like people were making a big deal before the game over the fact that Hutchinson was starting and this is something that Babcock would never do. And this is how like Sheldon Keefe's putting his stamp on the team. And everyone thought that, oh, okay, well, you know, things are going to be different. Hutchinson lost, or the Leafs lost. He's still, I think, one of only two backup goalies in the entire league who have yet to win a game this year. I mean, some of that has to do with him, but some of it has to do with how the team plays in front of him as well. So I don't know how much blame you can put on the goalie. And I mean, listen, he's your backup goalie. How many teams have a really good backup goalie? Not that many.
There's not many. Most teams are riding one guy.
Right. But, so, I mean, what do you expect from your backup goalie? And you're going to have to use him when you have back-to-back games, and that's that.
Yeah. That's that.
So they lost to Buffalo. Buffalo's actually, you know, they're not a great team. They're not a terrible team. They're a decent team. And they have some really skilled young players, and they won the game. So, you know, we'll see how the Leafs do tonight. I don't even know who they're playing tonight.
They're playing Buffalo again.
Are they? Oh, okay.
Yeah, back to back.
I didn't know it was the same team.
Yeah, they're playing back to back against Buffalo, home and home.
Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of that, shout out to friend of the show, Joseph De Benedictis. If you happen to be at the game yesterday, or if you're going to the game, the Leafs game today in Toronto, in the intermission on the big Jumbotron, they're going to be showing a documentary about Rob Ray and Ty Domi, which Joe worked on as part of the production of that video. Right now you can't find that video. You can't watch it anywhere online. Like I tried to, you can just see little clips of it. So I imagine that maybe after they show it in arena, they're going to maybe release it like on the web. So good for you, Joe.
Nice. Very nicely done.
Yeah. I mean, I had other notes about going on and on about the whole Bill Peters thing in Calgary. I don't know if we want to get into that. And because we try to keep things positive, you know, we try to keep things positive and not get into some of the political
stuff. There's really everything that needs to be said about Bill Peters has been said already, so I'm not going to repeat anything. But what I'll say is the stuff that he did and the stuff that he said, hundreds of coaches in every single sport have done exactly the same thing or worse well before he did it. That doesn't make it okay. I'm not saying it's okay.
No.
I mean, but like no one should be surprised that this happened. I mean, you remember Bobby Knight? Like the stuff that he did?
Oh my God.
And he did it like chair. He did it, you know, in front of an entire arena of people. He didn't even do it behind the scenes.
He choked one of his players on camera, on TV.
So, I mean,
choked him.
That's just one example. And how long did Indiana keep him on as head coach? For years and years.
Many years, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean,
it just goes to show, times change, right?
This stuff happens when you're a coach in any sport, or when you're a player in any sport. Coaches will do whatever they think they can to motivate their players. I'm not saying that that's the right way to do it, but it's even harder to motivate players these days, because now the players get paid so much, and they have all these, they got the Players Association backing them up, and it's almost impossible. What are you going to do? You're going to threaten Alex Ovechkin you're going to bench him? You're not going to bench Alex Ovechkin, you know? I'm just saying.
But coaches have to evolve now. Like, racism and violence, it's not going to, the message has to be that, like, racism and violence in the locker room and all the sports, that's got to go. That's got to go. That's the thing of the past. It used to get swept under the rug, but now it's not going to be anymore.
No, and I mean, you heard the story. It was about a year ago at a school here in Toronto, where I don't know if it was the football players or the hockey players on the school team.
There was hazing.
There was hazing. And I don't know if the coach knew about it or just turned a blind eye to it. But stuff like this happens all the time. So. Hopefully eventually it'll stop. I mean, there are a lot of...
Yeah, well, this is the first step. This is like the first step in that players now, like, are not going to be afraid to come out and say, hey, this is wrong. Because players always just shut up because they were like, I can't say anything because he's going to bench me, or I'm going to get sent down, or I'm going to get traded, or, you know, like that kind of thing, right? So this is like step one to change the culture, you know?
And
like the thing with the Bill Peters thing is, and I've seen it firsthand in youth hockey here, even in my little town, hockey's white. Hockey in Canada is white, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, everywhere.
I can only imagine like the stuff that like a guy like Wayne Simmonds or PK Subban or the handful of black players in the league. Can you imagine what Grant Fuhr went through back in the day, right? Like they must have tons of stories to tell.
For sure.
With negative experiences and stuff that they've been through. So
the thing that I've noticed in the NHL, at least, it seems like there's two kinds that you can take all the head coaches in the NHL, and you can put them into one of two categories: the old school guys and the new school guys. There's a lot of these new young coaches in the NHL that I've never heard of before. They either come from, you know, the NCAA, or they come from maybe the Ontario Hockey League or the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. And so hopefully the new younger coaches have a different attitude and have a different style and don't do what the old school guys, you know, used to do. And eventually there won't be any more of these old school coaches eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, eventually. Like I said, this is the first step. All right, so that's it for hockey.
Great.
College basketball.
Duke lost to Stephen F. Austin.
I mean, we have to talk about this because we talked about how Kentucky lost to, was it Evansville? Evansville. So, I mean, the fact that Duke lost to Stephen F. Austin at Duke.
At home.
It's just ridiculous.
It's huge.
It's shocking. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
But you will recall that the game before that, when Duke played Georgetown, another unranked team, Duke struggled against Georgetown. I mean, they won the game, but it wasn't easy. So and then last night Duke played Winthrop, and Duke won the game last night, but again, it wasn't an easy win.
Yeah, barely won.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I'm always trying to be so positive, right? So we see like this Duke team and I'm looking at them. What did I tell you last time? Maybe the parts are going to be create a better whole, you know, like they're not going to have the superstars like they had last year or the year before. But maybe all these guys are going to fit together better and make a better team, right? Like I'm trying to look at all the positives. But like really, when you lose to Stephen F. Austin, what does it show? Like he starts Trey Jones and four freshmen, and the four freshmen are just not prepared. They're just not ready. Like Zion was ready because the guy was a freak of nature, right? And he could do whatever he wanted on the court. But like Cassius Stanley, he cannot do whatever he wants on the court, and neither can Matthew Hurt, and neither can like even Vernon Carey Jr., who's putting up great numbers, you know, like he they're still freshmen, you know, and we'll see how it goes. Like, it seems like he really wants to play the freshman. He doesn't want to get, he's giving much less minutes to the Alex O'Connells and the Jack Whites of the world, right?
I don't know if you saw that Stanley got injured yesterday, and he's going to be out for a while, actually.
Yeah, yeah, it's a loss, but like, it's definitely a loss because he's definitely the most athletic guy they have. But at least they do have bodies that can come in, right? Like, they have other players. So I don't know. Like, and look, it's November and we're talking about Duke, so kind of weird, but
yeah, look, I think it's safe to say they're still going to make it to the tournament.
Yes. So yes. Stephen F. Austin. Are you talking about Duke or Stephen F. Austin?
I'm talking about Duke. And Stephen F. Austin will probably make the tournament also. I think they're one of the top 68 teams in the country.
Well, that win against Duke in Duke certainly goes a long way on their resume to get them in, right?
Right. Well, I don't know if what conference they're in or how many teams from their conference will get into the tournament, but I'm pretty sure they were in it last year.
They've been in it. I don't know about last year. I couldn't even tell you, but they've definitely been in the tournament before. Like that much we know, right?
No, anyway, so, you know, Duke lost the game. We knew they weren't going to go undefeated. Just surprising that that's the game that they lost. It's funny, friend of the show, Jamie, who doesn't follow college basketball, even he heard about this game because he texted me the next day and he said...
Jamie doesn't even know anything about college basketball.
I know, and he texted me the next day and he said... Did I hear that Duke lost at home for the first time in like 150 games? And so I had to explain to him that, well, yes, that's partly true, but it's at home to a non-conference team and yada, yada, yada. So there's all these things. Anyway, but the fact that he heard about it clearly means it was news.
You yada, 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 the whole thing there.
You can fill in the blanks.
Listen to this. Marcy comes over and she tells me that her ex-boyfriend was over late last night and yada, 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 I'm really tired today. You don't think she'd yada, yada sex?
I've yada, yada'd sex.
Really?
Yeah. I met this lawyer. We went out to dinner. I had the lobster bisque. We went back to my place. Yada, yada, yada. I never heard from him again.
But you yada, yada'd over the best part.
No, I mentioned the bisque.
Well, I gotta do something.
By the way, Stephen F. Austin is in the Southland Conference.
Okay.
All right. That's college basketball.
Yeah.
I wanted to just mention two little points about the NFL.
The National Football League.
Like, I don't want to get into too much of the NFL, but huge game, by the way, on Sunday. Ravens Niners.
Mm-hmm.
The weird thing about the game is that it's at 1 o'clock. It's so hard to imagine that you have literally the two best teams in the league, probably the two teams that actually most people want to see because people are sick of seeing the Patriots and like these are the two new teams or the new shiny little toys in the NFL, right? That everyone wants to see, and yet they're playing at 1 o'clock. I don't know how they didn't get flexed to that Sunday night game, which is. The Patriots are playing on Sunday night.
It also depends on, you know, what conference you're in because one conference and CBS does the other conference. And I don't even know how it works because sometimes you have teams from different conferences playing each other. So does it go by the home team? Does it go by the road team? I have no idea how that works.
The Patriots are playing the Texans on Sunday night. Good game. Don't get me wrong.
It's not very a bad good game.
But Ravens Niners is the game that everyone wants to see. Right?
Yeah, so you'll watch it at 1 o'clock. That's fine. You're not doing anything at 1 o'clock anyway. You're free.
I'm watching the Eagles Dolphins.
You're so lucky, by the way. The Eagles are so lucky that the Cowboys suck. Because the Eagles actually can still make the playoffs somehow, which is unbelievable.
If the Eagles beat the whole NFC East comes down to one game. It comes down to the Eagles versus the Cowboys in Philadelphia in a couple weeks. Like that's the game that's going to decide the whole season, but for both teams, right? Because it's going to determine the head-to-head, it's going to determine the tiebreaker, it's going to determine everything, mm-hmm. right? So right now the Eagles have the tiebreaker. If they win that game if the Eagles beat the Cowboys in that second game, mm-hmm. the second head-to-head game, then they'll be 1-1 against each other. And the tiebreaker is the common opponents, which the Eagles are way ahead now, especially now that the Cowboys lost to the Bills. So, yeah, it's ridiculous that the Eagles could still make the playoffs, considering like how pathetic they looked last game. And we'll see. Hopefully they can get a little bit healthier and look better against Miami, which seems to be like the cure-all. Just facing Miami alone should help you. You know?
So, by the way, speaking of that game, I think the Eagles are favored by 10 or something, which is a lot of points. I mean, I get that the Dolphins are not a good team, but I was very, and still I'm very, what's the word? I'm tempted to wager that the Eagles will not cover the spread in that game.
10 points, a lot of points.
It is a lot of points. Because even when the Eagles win, they win by like a field goal or something.
But it could be one of these games where the Dolphins just will not score. And it'll be 13-0 or 14-3.
Well, the Dolphins have won two games this year. It's not like they're the Cincinnati Bengals.
No, I know. This is true.
So
Cincinnati Bengals. Oh boy, there's a whole other story. By the way, so happy Thanksgiving to all our American listeners. Did you watch any Thanksgiving Day football? Speaking of that.
I did watch a little bit. Yes, actually. Yes.
I didn't watch the first game or the last game, but I watched the Cowboys-Bills because rooting against the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
There's some good stories there, right? Because like everyone wants Jason Garrett to get fired. Every Cowboy fan wants Jason get fired. I have a good friend who's a Cowboys fan. We're texting during the game and he was like, first of all, he hates Dak Prescott. He's hated him since the first minute he became the quarterback. Doesn't think Prescott is like can lead the Cowboys anywhere. And doesn't understand, this is my friend, does not understand how Jason Garrett is still the coach after all these years. Like, he just doesn't understand it. Did you see Jerry Jones? They asked him after the game, like, are you going to fire? They asked him straight out, are you going to fire Jason Garrett? And very tearfully and almost in tears, he's like, this is not the time to talk about this. Like, Jerry Jones is kind of misunderstood. You know, everybody portrays him as this, like, tyrannical villain, you know, like, manipulating his team. Like, he's very, like, he's a thoughtful speaker. Whenever you hear Jerry Jones talk, he makes sense, you know? When he was talking about contract negotiations with Dak and with Ezekiel Elliott, when they were talking about the contract negotiations with Ezekiel Elliott, when he was going to hold out, everything Jerry Jones had to say made perfect sense. And, like, he's very thoughtful in his answers. And when reporters asked him, are you going to fire Jason Garrett? He was, like, in tears because in his mind, he's like, I'm not firing Jason Garrett on Thanksgiving. Like, what kind of maniac do you think I am? Like, people want to make him into this villain, you know, but he's not. He cares passionately about his team, and that's about it, you know?
I mean, you knew, like, listen, the fact that Jason Garrett is still the coach, because every year we have this conversation, will he get fired? So, you know, it's not going to happen during the season. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen in the off season. As we just said about a few minutes ago, Jason Garrett's one of the longest serving coaches in the NFL.
If you're a Cowboys fan and you want to make the playoffs this year, the firing Garrett is not the thing to do. You don't fire your coach in the middle of the season. Like, you just don't. Like, that it doesn't work like how it is in hockey, where your team's going to get this emotional lift. It just screws your team up, right? Because it just creates chaos.
Whether the Cowboys make the playoffs or not, it's not going to matter who the coach is. And you're right. Like, you're better off just keeping the coach you have till the end of the season and then making a decision. Because, okay, so you fire Jason Garrett today, you have a new coach next game. It's not going to make, they still have the same players on the roster and they still haven't, have they won a game against a team that's over 500 this year? I don't think they have.
They have not. They have not. All their wins are against teams under 500. Their biggest win of the season in terms of, their biggest win of the season in terms of the record of their opponent was when they beat the Eagles. Try to absorb that, right?
So one other thing about that Cowboys-Bills game, that was another game where the Cowboys were actually favored by a touchdown. And I saw that and I'm like, first of all, the Cowboys are not going to cover that spread, number one. Number two, they might not even win I don't even think they're going to win the game. I thought the Bills going in were going to win outright, and they did. And that was another game that I was tempted to wager on, but I didn't.
Feel bad for the Bills because everybody's just talking about the Cowboys and how bad they are and how Jason Garrett could get fired and Jerry Jones and all this. But like, what's lost in all that is the Bills played an amazing game. The Bills defense was all over Dak Prescott. Interceptions, sacks, strip sacks, Their quarterback Allen was running wild, and like they look like a really good team, the Bills, right? Like, let's not sleep on the Bills, right? We should give them the credit where credit is due. They're a good team. There might be probably a playoff team where they have a good chance, and they're a fun team to watch, actually.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's nice to see them doing well. It's the first time that I can recall since, you know, the Jim Kelly days that the Bills have a good team. Somebody pointed something out. I can't take credit for this, but you know how everyone was saying how the Patriots, they have this amazing record, but they had a really easy schedule. The Bills have almost the identical easy schedule to the Patriots.
Yeah, no, the Bills' toughest opponent so far this year was the Cowboys and Denver. That's their two big signature victories, right? Let's see when they have to play the Patriots again what happens, right?
Yeah.
You're kidding me? Boy, are you bugging me, man. I'm getting bugged now. Whoa, man.
So if you've watched TSN at all in the last week, I'm sure you've seen these commercials for the World Junior Hockey Championships.
Yeah, well, they hype it up like crazy.
Yes. So I actually do enjoy the World Junior Hockey Championships. And this year, the commercials are actually pretty good because what the theme is, they show you these players that have played in the World Juniors, and they say how, you know, before Sidney Crosby won the Stanley Cup, he played in the World Juniors. And before, you know, Steven Stamkos, you know, won the Stanley Cup, he played in the World Juniors. And they mention all these players who are all-stars now who were, you know, unknown back then.
Right.
But one of the players that they use in the commercial, you know, it's fine to use Sidney Crosby and Steven Stamkos and Matt Duchene, sure, and Carey Price and all those guys. One of the players they use in the commercial is Jeff O'Neill. Jeff O'Neill, okay, yeah, he played in the World Juniors, but what did he ever do in the NHL? Jeff O'Neill is not on the same level as these other players. And I think the only reason they mention him in the commercial is because he works on TSN.
100%, that's why. And not only does he work at TSN, he's not even good at his job. I can't stand listening to him. Although yeah, he was pretty critical of Babcock during this week, and I give him credit. This is something I wanted to mention before. It's really disgusting how all the wolves came out on Babcock after he got fired, right?
Mm.
Like, I can't stand that. Like, if you knew stuff about Babcock and you had all these stories about him, where were you for the last 4 years?
Yeah.
Only when he's fired, you're kicking him when you're down. It's okay to, no one wanted to say anything about Babcock because they don't want to lose their access to him, which is cowardly. But Jeff O'Neill has been critical of Babcock and throwing out all kinds of stories for a while now. Right, so I give him credit for that. But yes, he does not deserve to be in the World Junior commercial.
So anyway, I just that was bugging me, so I just wanted to mention it.
I love it. Thank you for bringing that up. Before we sign off, remember you can listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Skip and Josh podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and of course Spotify. If you listen to the show through Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. We would love to hear from you via email, skipandjoshshow@gmail.com, via Twitter @skipandjosh, or by liking and following our Facebook page. As always, you can get all the links to everything I just talked about on our website, skipandjosh.com.
We leave you with this.
All right, so I wanted to end the show, Josh, with, I know I texted you about this. I finally saw the Uber Eats commercials with my guy Randy Watkins. There's two new commercials.
Oh, the one I told you about.
There's two. There's one where he's like talking about all the different types of food, and then he looks at a picture of him and his girlfriend and he's getting sentimental about something, which is weird. And then there's another one where you see both sides of the Uber order. Like, these guys order pizza and he's like, and they're like, oh yeah, he's picking it up now. And then they show Randy Watkins picking up the pizza. And then they show him in his car and he's singing a Celine Dion song. And then like the guys are looking on their app. They're like, why is he stopped? How come he's not moving? And then sure enough, you see Randy Watkins and there's these weird yellow bicycles and mini cars crossing the street. He can't cross. Like, there's a lot, like, you see both sides of the order. And then he just finally gives him the pizzas and I just find it's really good. But what I did want to tell you about Uber Eats is on RDS, there's French Uber Eats commercials with Amélie Girard, femme de livraison. So for all you non-French speaking people, it's Amélie Girard instead of Randy Watkins, man of delivery, it's woman of delivery. And it's actually exactly the same commercial where she's talking about all the different types of food, and then she sees the picture of her and her boyfriend on her dashboard and she gets sentimental about their food. So I just thought, wow, this is really, really quite cute. And I was really thrilled to see it actually in French. It was quite something.
So I haven't seen the French one, and I haven't seen the other English one that you mentioned. So now I'll have to pay attention, okay. Look out for those.
And you can't find them online, these commercials. I tried to look them up and see them on YouTube, and like, you can't find them.
The amount of time that we spend talking about Uber Eats, they should be a sponsor on our show.
They really should.
I don't even use Uber Eats. I never use it.
I use it so much, it's embarrassing. Anytime we come home, my wife comes home from work, and I'm working at home, but I'm still working. And we're like, what's for dinner tonight? I'm like, I don't know. Let's get some Uber Eats. It's like, it's a terrible, terrible habit.
I would think that you, of all people, would use Skip the Dishes.
I do use Skip the Dishes sometimes. It's the same thing. In where I live in Montreal, here in the suburbs, it's all exactly the same restaurants on both sites.
I just, you know, the name Skip the Dishes.
Of course, yeah, of course. You have anything you wanted to mention? Close out?
Yeah, so recently... You know, when you go to buy something that you haven't purchased in a long time, or maybe you've never purchased this item before? Mm-hmm. So you go to the store, and before you get there, you're thinking, how much is this going to cost? Like, if it's something you've never purchased before, you have no clue what it costs, right? So someone could tell you, this is $100, and you might think, oh, that's normal. Or it's $1,000, you might think it's normal. Or it could be 15 bucks, you have no idea, right?
Okay, so what did you buy?
So I went to buy a scale.
A scale, like a bathroom scale?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I had no clue what it was going to cost going in. Do you have any idea how much a scale costs?
Well, I guess there's lots of bells and whistles on the scales now, right? But like...
I mean, there's fancy ones and there's not so fancy ones.
Standard,
so there is
bathroom
a range.
Scale, digital. Digital, you're talking?
Well,
right?
No, like, I didn't splurge for the digital.
Oh, you got one with the little needle?
Yeah.
I don't know, $25?
Yeah, that's right. Good guess. Very good guess.
In this day and age, you just basically start with 20 bucks for everything.
The digital, right? Ones were like 50 bucks and up.
Right, right.
So, anyway.
Wow. Pretty crazy. Good luck with your scale.
Thanks.
All right, Josh, that's the end of the show.
Okay.
I want to wish you a happy birthday tomorrow.
Thanks.
And... we never acknowledged that the podcast also hit our 3-year anniversary.
You did mention that. You mentioned that, I think, 2 episodes ago.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll mention it again. Happy 3-year podcast anniversary and happy birthday to you. I won't mention your age.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, great. Have a good week.
Okay.